Okay, Parshas Hazinu, Rabbeinu Bechai begins with the pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud, pasuk Lamed Aleph, Pi Tzadik Yonav Chachma, Lashon Tapuchos Tikareis, which means the mouth of a tzadik, it flows from him Chachma, and the words of treachery or flipping, whatever, will be cut off. Rabbeinu Bechai explains that Shlomo Melech is teaching us with this that the tzadik and the rasha are two opposites. The tzadik speaks Chachma so often that it flows from him. It comes literally naturally to him. And he quotes the pasuk in the first parak in Tehillim that says that the tzaddik will be ke'et shosel al plan ge'mayim, like a tree, asher pirio yitem b'ito ve'le yibol, that it'll give its fruit in the right time, and its leaves won't wither. So he says that a tzaddik's fruit is his Chachma. In other words, just a fruit comes naturally from the tree, so too Chachma comes naturally from the Chacham, because they're so used to giving Divrei Chachma, it comes naturally from them. And even their leaves, which he compares to the Sichas Chulin of Talmid Chacham, in other words, not the Iker Pri, just something that grows from the tree, like the leaves, which give shade to the fruit. So he says, so too, when a Talmid Chacham just talks Stam about not Torah things, Stam stuff. We also know Sichas Chulin needs to be, of a Talmid Chacham, needs to be learned. And even that has Chachma in it. So the natural fruit of a tzaddik is Chachma, whereas the Rasha is the opposite. He's Lashon Tapuchas, and that should be cut off, the pasuk says. And he describes the Rasha as being used to Gaiva, that a Rasha speaks Gaiva all the time. In other words, this pasuk in Mishlei we just quoted isn't exactly what he said that's bad, but it's Gaiva. That's what he says in Russia, as the pasuk in Mishlei in Yud Dalet Gimel, Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Gimel says, "Befi Evil Choter Gaiva, Sif Sechachamim Tishmurim." That a fool is always, so he's full of Gaiva. So that's the difference in Tzaddik and a Rasha. They're polar opposites. To the Tzaddik, Chachma comes naturally because he's so used to it. To a Rasha, Gaiva comes naturally. And we have the ability to choose. We can choose to be like the tzaddik who goes after his higher parts, or go after be like the rosh who goes after his lower parts. And that is like shamayim and aretz. That's the, we have the higher parts and the lower parts of us while we're alive. So a person is always affected by both. And he just has to choose which he goes after, but a person is affected by both. So therefore he says that's why Hazinu begins with Hazinu HaShemayim, Vatabir V'sishma Aretz Imrefi, because these are like, he says, like the krovim of the person, the Shemayim, the Aretz. These are the spiritual parts, the lower parts. These are the krovim, so to speak, of the person. So when Moshe is going to tell the Bnei Yisrael, remember to do good, and this is what's going to happen to you in the future, so he's like warning him in front of his krovim. That's the idea of Hazino Shemayim Aretz, Vadaber V'Tishma Aretz Imrefi. Okay, so Rabbeinu Bechai explains that this whole parsha in general is Moshe telling the Jewish people everything that's going to happen to them, literally from the beginning of time till the end of time. And it begins with Hatzur Tamim. Well, first it's Moshe says, Yarov Kamatra Likhi Tizaka Talim Rasi, that his words, Moshe Davin's, his words should be like rain, that just like rain falls on the ground, is soaked up by the ground and gives fruit. So too, he hopes his words go into Bnei Israel and bear fruit. And he wants to tell them about everything that's going to happen. So it says, Hatzur Tamim Palo. So he says, Hashem is Tamim Palo. His actions are perfect. So that means to say, Rabbeinu Bechai says that there's nothing above Hashem. Everything comes, everything Hashem does, he doesn't need anybody else's help. So that means his actions are tamim, are perfect, meaning he's not dependent on anybody else, as opposed to everything else on the planet or off the planet, for that matter. They all need kochos above them to exist. And then he points out just an interesting, that he says he heard from his Rebbe, the Rashba, that in the correct girsa in Kiddush Lavana, is Poel Emes Shepu'ula So Emes. Apparently there was a girsa that said Poel Emes Shepu'ula So Emes, that we'd be praising the moon, that the moon's actions are Emes, meaning that it always does what it's supposed to. But he says that's not true, because that's not Emes. Emes means that you're completely independent, you don't need anything else. That's not Shayach by the moon, because the moon needs Hashem and things above the person above the moon all the way back to Hashem. So and it must say, so that's not appropriate to call it Emes, or therefore it should say Shepu'ula So Emes, meaning Hashem's Pu'ulos are Emes. Because only Hashem's actions are true, are perfect, they do not require anything to help him. So one pshat he has in what Hatzur Tamim Palo means is refers to Adam Arishon, meaning Hashem formed Adam. And then, that's right, Adam was Yetzir Kapav, so Hashem formed Adam, Hatzur Tamim Palo, and Hashem made Adam great, and then Adam sinned. And he was, Misa was Nigzar on him. And that's V'chol Derach of Mishpat, that Hashem punished him, and that was correct. And then we have, like a few pasuk later, it says, Shiches Lo, Lo. Shiches Lo with a Vav, then Lo with an Aleph. So what does that mean? So he says, that means that when Adam Rishon sinned, he was Kotzeitz Benetios. That's used in Chazal to mean kofer. I'm not exactly sure if it means that 100% here. I think if you look in Bereshis, probably means something a little bit more Kabbalistic than that. But either way, it was, he says, the same type of avera that was at the Egel. And therefore it says Shiches, because that's the same lashon used by the Egel. Where Hashem said to Moshe, Reid, ki Shiches Amcha. So Shiches Lo. Lo. Now the Lav, Lo with the Aleph. He was Shiches with the Lo with an Aleph, meaning he was giving one Lav, do not eat from the Eitz Hadas, which he did. So Shiches Lo, Lo. He was Kotzeitz Benetios, he was Mashches Lo, with the Lav of don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And then, Ban of Mumam. Then his sons had Mums, meaning because Cain was Nichras, Evel was Nairag. Anyway, so that's going on at the beginning of time. Before we get to the next pasuk, I don't want to pass this up, that the Rabbeinu Bechai offers an alternate explanation that these psukim refer to the four different olamos. The four different olamas. What four different olamas am I talking about? Well, there's Olam Hazeh. There's Tchias HaMesim. I'm sorry, I skipped one. There's Olam Hazeh. Then there's Olam HaNeshamos, like a person's alive. Then they die, and their soul goes to heaven or elsewhere. And that's Olam HaNeshamos. And then after that, there is Tchias HaMesim. That's the third Olam. And after that, there's Olam Haba. So he says that is hinted to in these psukim. That is, Hatorah Tamim Palo Ki Chol Derachav Mishpat, that Hashem has Mishpat, and therefore when a person dies in this world, it's Mishpat. Keil Amunah Vein Avel, and there's no iniquity when Hashem punishes someone in, that refers to Olam HaNeshamos. He's Tzadik B'Shas Tchias HaMesim, and Yashar L'Olam Haba. That's what he says on these psukim. I'm not 100% sure how he knew that they meant that. But that's what he says. I think it's just his own shot. And the Ramban, I think I may have mentioned this in the past once, has a similar, says this in Shaar HaGmul, not on this, I don't think, but he says it about the four olamas, that it's, we say it in davening on Shabbos, Ein Kerkecha, by the Ein Kerkecha, right before Kel Adon. Say Enker Kacha Hashem Malkeinu Ba'olam Hazeh, V'nzulascha Malkeinu L'chayelam Haba, Eves B'tcha Galeinu Matzim Mashiach, V'endo Melacha Mashiach L'Nuskeis Hamesim. Those are four different worlds, four different times. So this is a remez to those four different times. Anyway, just an idea to know that's out there. There's four different zmanim, four different worlds. Either way, Rabbeinu Bechai points out that if he's right, then it makes perfect sense that we say this, as this is part of the Psukim Seder that Tzidduk HaDin. And he says, if, of course, mentioning this, these Psukim is highly appropriate, therefore, talking about the four different lamas, about Tchias HaMesim and such. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said on the day he died, and was Matzdik Olam HaSadin. And also he throws in that it's nice that Moshe Rabbeinu did Tzidduk HaDin with this Lashon of Tzur, started with a Tzur Tamim Palo, because he was Chote with the Tzur, with the rock. Okay, next. We have, Pasuk says, Hala Hashem Tigmelu Zos. Rabbeinu Bechai points out the way to properly pronounce it is Hala Hashem Tigmelu Zos. In other words, a shvanah, nach, shvanach, not a shvanah. And he says that it has to be that way. I'm just pointing to that because I think it's interesting. It's because the name is Hal Hashem. The Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, starts with a Yud, with a Shva. If you have two Shvas in a row, so in order not to change the Shem Hashem is supposed to be starting off with a Shva Na, a pronounced Shva, right? The possibilities are Hal or Halle. So Hal is a Shva Nach, Halle is a Shva Na. So since it'd be Halle, you'd have two Shva. It should have been, he's saying, it should have been Halle Hashem, but since the Yud Kei Vav Kei comes after that, and the Yud is supposed to be a Shva Na, so you can't have two in a row. So the Lamed is a Shva Nach, so that the Shem Hashem could stay the way it normally is, which is a Shva Na. I just thought that's interesting because most of us, we think of that starts with an Aleph, right? We wouldn't think of it just to point out that there's a Shem Hashem afterwards with its own Shva that changes how we pronounce the Lamed. Okay. Then we have another fascinating Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says Yitzrenu ki Yishoni No. Hashem will protect us like the protected us like his eye, the black of the eye. So Rabbeinu Bechaya explains is talking about that the black part of the eye, but it refers to the it's called Yishon because you could see the image of an ish in it. And the reason, right, when you look at someone, you could see your reflection in their eyeball. I mean, or they could see you, whatever. The person is seen in there. And the reason why it's called Ishon is because it's like, you know, when you say Chaimela, it means like little Chaim. So Ishon means like little person because your eye appears small. Your person appears small in the person's eye. Meaning if you look, I assume he means if you're looking at your reflection in someone's eyeball, you appear small. Either way, he also says that that's the Pshat and Shabbos, Shabboson. These owns mean little. So Shabbos means the regular Shabbos. Shabboson means the little Shabbos that refers to Tosefa Shabbos. How do you like that? Okay, that's... anyway, moving right along here. He says that there are three types of Avodah Zarah. Okay? Three types of Avodah Zarah. One is worshipping the Malachim, or the Kochos in Shamayim, or the sun, the moon, the stars, that kind of stuff. Then there is worshipping idols, which is trying to bring down the ruchnius of Kochos and Shemayim onto some idol. And then there's worshipping Shadim, or Avodas HaShadim. So, it seems he listed that in order of, quote-unquote, what's called Hashivas, but in order of how low they are. You know, there's certain things that are lower. So, Kenega, the first Avoda of worshipping ruchniistic things, which... I don't know the right word for it. The most not low thing to do of Avodah Zarah is to worship like Malachim and Kochos of Ruchnius. On that we have the pasuk of Lo Yielacha Elohim Acherim. Next you have, for the idols, you have Lo Sas Elacha. And then for worshipping Shadim, he says they have the pasuk, that's what referring to Vashar Ba'amayim Itachas La'aretz. That's the lowest kind of worship, because that's really pathetic. I guess it's very low, worship Shadim. But apparently that was very popular in Mitzrayim, and that's what he had mentioned before. That's why the Torah said don't eat dam, because that had been very popular for Avodah Shadim. Either way, he says that these are, the Pasuk says that these were new Avodah Zarahs, Losa Arum Avosecha, meaning even Terach and Nachor, when they did Avodah Zarah, they didn't do these kinds of Avodah Zarahs of worshipping Shadim like you people, right? That's the Pasuk says, Yizbechul HaShadim. And it says, Lo Sarum HaVaseichem, meaning your father Terech HaNachor worshipped Avodah Zarah. They didn't worship Shadim. That's like the lowest of the low. They worshipped like the, you know, the Kochos and Shemayim, which is also no good, obviously, but at least they weren't low like this. Worshipping the Shadim, that's the lowest of the low. Okay, later on we have the Pasuk of Banim Lo Emun Ban, which he brings the Sifri that says, Banim lo emun ban means Banim lo amen bam, that they refuse to answer amen. And he says, you see from here the koach of answering amen. Like that's one of the codes, Banim lo emun bam, that they wouldn't answer amen, the importance of answering amen. That's interesting. Okay, then the Lashon of the Pasuk switches soon after. It says, Re'u atak ya'ani anihu. Towards the end of Hazino, it says, so there, it's obviously Hashem talking, because he's saying, Ani anihu. So we're switching from Moshe talking to Hashem talking. So Rabbeinu Bachai explains the reason we do this is because when from there on, Hashem is talking about the Geula Hasidah. And there it's not Moshe talking, Hashem wants to talk himself. Hashem wants, because it's Hashem promising us, Ki Esel Yadi, Hashem swears. Hashem wants to let us know himself, and he swears about it. Ki Esel Yadi, right? It says he's Lashon Shvuah. Hashem swears that he will take us out of Gullus eventually, that there will be a Gula Hasida. And it says, Ani Amis Vachayeh, I killed and I bring back to life. That's a remis for Tchias HaMesim. And Bin B'chai just asks a question he's asked in different ways many times, that people ask, why is it that Tchias HaMesim is not spelled out explicitly in the Torah? And he says the same answer he asks to the question of why doesn't it spell out Olam Haba specifically in the Torah. Anything, the more non-physical, the less the Torah talks about it. It's something that's so not, we have no connection to Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba, all these things that aren't here today. The Torah doesn't talk about explicitly, it talks about things that we can touch and feel, that it'll rain more if you do mitzvahs, if you don't, bad things will happen. It always talks about physical things. From the physical things, you'll understand that the spiritual things are there too. But the more sublime and spiritual the thing is, the less it's talked about explicitly in the Torah. Because he says the Torah is given to everybody, to the Hamonam, and the Hamonam can understand spiritual things like that, things that we don't have any connection to in the physical world. They're very hard to explain and understand because it's not a reality we're used to, and therefore the Torah only hints to it and doesn't say it explicitly. Okay. And he also points out, it says, the Sofei Tevos of Re'u Ata, the word before, the pasuk before is Sisra, Hi'alechem Sisra, Re'u Ata Ki Ani Ani Hashem. So the last words of Sisra, Re'u Ata Ki, the last letters of those four words spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei backwards. You know, you have to assume that the Torah, the Rabbeinu Bachai knew this either by Mesorah or Ruach HaKodesh. I don't know, anybody could come up with all these different things, but he goes through Hashem's name, he says, written in the Torah 18 times, either Sofei Tevos, Rashi Tevos, and when the Yud Kei Vav Kei is written backwards, it's a hint to Midas Adin. So here it's the Midas Adin against the Nachrim who went after us throughout history. So there Hashem is going to destroy them. So that's why he's got the Yud Kei Vav Kei written backwards, because he's the Psukim talking about Hashem destroying the Goyim eventually. And then, the ones who oppressed us at least. And then we have the last thing I'm going to mention is, it says that in Pasuk, Paraklam Beis Pasuk Memvav, Vayarma Elhem, Simu Levavchem Echal Dvar Masher Anochi Made Bechem. He's telling them to pay attention to what I taught you. Simu Levavchem. So it's Lashon Levav, not Libchem. Levavchem. Your hearts. So Rabbeinu Bachai says that's teaching you that you have to put your whole heart into Divrei Torah, meaning using your Yitzhara and your Yitzhar Tov. Those are the two hearts. Levav always means the two hearts, Yitzhara and Yitzhar Tov. Use your whole machshavos for Limud HaTorah. And okay, we're going to stop here.